in verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity," and the greatest of these, charity. But I think I can pretty well talk about what I had left on this message this morning. It was about Paul. Paul is one of the most unique examples in the Bible of someone who truly loved God. And all of our churches use the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul gave instructions on the Lord's Supper. And so I thought I would, as we took the Lord's Supper, that as we were observing the different elements tonight, as a matter of fact, I just thought of this because I'm tired. And I thought if I stand up there and preach this, and my throat's sore, then I'm just not going to be in any great shape for the Lord's Supper. And I do like to be alert and perceptive and not tired when I take the Lord's Supper. So I think we'll observe the Lord's Supper tonight. And as we go through it and we're observing the different parts of it, I'll just talk about some things that have to do with the kind of love that Paul had. And maybe in talking about those things from the Scripture, maybe it'll make an impression on you and on me while we're observing the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper is a very wonderful and precious thing. And we need some people to come and do the different things for the Lord's Supper. And if I call on you and you don't want to do it, no problem. It just involves passing it out. And we always want to get Brother Shipley when he's physically able, because he's the church's only deacon. And if it bothers you to do that, why, you don't have to come if I ask you to. And don't feel embarrassed by telling me no. I know who to call on in this church to pray and who not to call on. And I never call on anyone unless they've ever asked me. So if I ask you to come down here, I know which ones to call on and which not to call on. So I'd like for us to start the Lord's Supper tonight. And I'd like to ask, some of you have been coming down here for a long time. And doing this, and you have to be a member of the church to do it. Kenneth, would you be willing to come? How about you, John? Okay. How about you, Josh? Okay. Let's see, I want to get some, I need one old head to do most of the praying. And the only old hard head I can think of is Brother Shipley. So if you all will come down here while we'll observe the Lord's Supper. You've watched him do it before, so we'll just see how this turns out. I don't think the Lord minds at all. So we'll need two of you over here and two of you over here. And if you get mixed up on what to do, just watch Brother Shipley. Unless he falls over. Don't do that. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we always read this verse first. And it's a very closed ordinance that we observe in the church. And so if you're a member of this church, you're eligible to take it. And so we always have a word of prayer before we do it, because all of us sin. We have things we do in life that we're not even aware of. And so I always read this before we take the Lord's Supper. It's 1 John 1:8-9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're going to have a silent moment of prayer. If you know what your sins are, you need to confess them to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And if you're afraid you've done some things you don't even know whether they're sin or not, well, go ahead and ask the Lord to forgive you of those. Because if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we're just going to have a silent moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for hearing all of our prayers. Thank you for loving us, caring for us, always forgiving us, always being patient and kind and merciful toward us. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. We always take the Lord's Supper according to some things that Paul wrote about and that Matthew wrote about. Of course, there are a lot of other writings about it. But we usually start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul was a follower of Christ. He was baptized by one of the members of the church at Damascus. He was a follower of Jesus. And he encouraged the members of the church at Corinth to follow him, follow his teachings and the things that Christ delivered to him. In verse 2, he said, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Now, that's something that we really try hard to do, because everybody always talks about what a great Christian Paul was. And one of the things that made Paul a great Christian was the fact that he tried to do what God wanted. And he failed, and he knew it, and he admitted it, but he always kept on trying. Now, there's lots of things that we're going to do in our lifetimes that we're ashamed of. But we can keep these ordinances like he delivered them. And through all the evidences in the Bible, the Lord's Supper was to be a closed ordinance of that local visible body. It was to be a close ordinance of love. So when you talk about hope, faith, and love, a church that's made up of people that want to keep the ordinances the way the Lord directed is made up of a group of people that want to love God. We're not legalists. We're not hard-headed. We're not stubborn. We don't want to shut anybody out. But we don't want to shut the Lord out. And if we don't do it the way the Lord said, we close the door to him. And if we open it and do it differently, he's not a part of it. So that's the reason we've always observed it the way we have. In Matthew 26:26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it." If you take the cover off, we're in no hurry, so we can just take our good old sweet easy time. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it." Now, I'm not Jesus, but Jesus wants this bread blessed. So I'll ask Brother Shipley if he'll thank the Lord for his broken body.
We thank you, dear Father, for the many things that you've done for us, especially your Father. Give your life and your Lord for us.
Amen.
The willing to give your body to sin offering for our sins. We just thank you.
and brake it and gave it to the disciples. The example of a man who tried to serve God and do what God wanted. It would be hard to find a better one than the Apostle Paul. One of the greatest examples of love is a growing awareness of the need to concentrate on God's will for the work and for the word, and not on your own personal wants and desires and ambitions. Paul had a bitter fight with his dear brother, Barnabas. They were great friends, and they had traveled together on the first missionary journey. And they were both very zealous servants of the Lord. They cared for the Lord a great deal, both of them. And on the first missionary journey, John Mark went as far as Pamphylia. He went across Cyprus with them. They didn't have too much trouble there. But when they got down into southern Turkey, which was called Pelagia at that time, and they landed at Patmos, at the seaport there, and they looked up at those hills at Pamphylia. Those are very steep Turkish hills. I've flown over them. And the mountains are pretty close to vertical, very steep slopes. And Paul and Barnabas were going to go up into those mountains, and they were going to carry the gospel to a group of churches there. John Mark was with them, and he took one look at those mountains and said, I'm going home. And he went back to Antioch. Well, the next time that they started to go out, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark again. Paul didn't want to take him. There was a bitter dispute between them. They parted their ways. Barnabas took John Mark to Cyprus. Paul took Silas and headed north, eventually on up into Greece. Well, they got there. Did a great work there. You know the writings of the Apostle Paul. You know what he did. And so you would think that Paul would never get over that, because Barnabas was a good friend. And you would think that Paul would be bitter against John Mark all of his life for having caused him to lose such a good friend. But Paul, as he grew in the Lord, the most important thing in Paul's life became the Word of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, Sunday school teacher, somebody that just fills a pew, and that's quite a responsibility. God means for us to learn to love the Word, because it's by the Word that His work is performed. And it means for us to put aside any personal differences, any things that would hurt the work. It's not in accordance with His Word. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you thank the Lord for His shed blood?
Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son came down on the cross. We thank You for that blood that trickled down on the cross. For that awful forehead that was shed for our remission of sins. Help us to do right and study Your Word. Let us ever be thankful for that. We give it back to You.
Gave it to them. Many years later, Paul is in a dungeon outside Rome. It's cold. Only Luke was with him. Everybody else had abandoned him. He knew he was about to die, and according to historical record, he was beheaded. It was cold, and he asked for his cloak. Well, here's an old man, cold, alone except for Luke, in a Roman dungeon, tried and convicted for his testimony of Christ, about to die. And he knew it. He said so very clearly in 2 Timothy. What would we have been interested in had we been in that dungeon after working all of our lives for the Lord and trying so hard to please God? What would be our primary interest? Would it be to get out? Would it be to find some way to compromise that Caesar might pardon us, let us go out? Or would it be a love for the Word that was the guiding part of our lives? Paul was an interesting man. He told Timothy, when he wrote the epistle to him, he wanted him to bring John Mark. And I've told you about this before. What in the world would he want John Mark for? Paul said, especially bring the parchments in the books. The parchments in the books, the words mean animal skin on which the first New Testament was written, and papyrus on which it was also written. John Mark wrote the first gospel. It was the first of all of them. Paul was in a dungeon in Rome, 67 A.D. The gospel of John Mark was completed several years earlier. It was there in loose form. Paul wanted to read it before he died. That's love. That's charity. That's why it's the greatest of all the things. It was a love for the Word of God. I would have probably been interested in a lot of other things. How long I had to live, a possible pardon, a lot of other things. But Paul was just interested in reading what this young man had written that had caused him so much grief so many years before. And he put all that aside. And he put it aside. And we don't know if John Mark got there in time. It really doesn't matter. But I imagine he did. And that's the example of love. He just wanted to see that document and read it. You know, preachers spend their whole ministry trying to get people to come to church and listen to this completed word. Can you imagine the excitement that Paul would have experienced if he had ever seen this completed document while he was still alive? It would have been the most precious thing in his life. I think by the time he died, he realized this was coming together. And he realized that it would be something that God would use in the future. And it's his living word. So, if you really want to know what love is, it's loving the word of God. Because a person is what they speak. And the Word of God is what he is and who he is. And he's the one who shed his blood so that we could have this book and we could have the truth, and we could enjoy it forever. And this is my, he said, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of you. Well, Paul said that he had a crown waiting for all those who loved his appearing. And he promised that first New Testament church that one day they could sit at his table in the kingdom. The Lord's Supper is a closed ordinance of the local church. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And that's something that we ought to look forward to from the time that we're young until the time that we die. I deeply regret it took me so long. But that's one of the reasons I got this youth up here. Because maybe they'll catch on sooner than I did. And maybe young men like Kevin and Michael and John Short and Danny Duke and John and Kenneth and Josh, maybe they'll pick up the mantle. And maybe they'll be the ones who follow on and who keep all these things that the Lord passed on to us. Because we're going home before long. And there's no reason that you can't pick up that mantle and love the Lord like Paul loved him. And it's the Word of God. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about love. And it's a memorial service. It's a thanksgiving to God for what he's done for us. He said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Is that page number 354K? 412. I ought to remember that, Acts 12. There is no, Acts 4:12, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Well, if we'll all turn to 4:12, then we'll close the Lord's Supper. And I'll ask Brother Charles Trustee if he'll dismiss us when we're finished. Thank you.